Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I want to start off with something I found out watching the Marvel Avenger movies. The one, I think it's Iron Man 2, where at the end of the movie, Tony Stark is looking for Ivan Vanko, and he was hiding out at Hammer Industries in New York. And so Jarvis goes out to look for him, and he's looking for him through the Oracle grid. I was like, I've heard that name Oracle before. And then come to find out, in June, the Oracle company signed a contract, a 10-year contract with the United States government for the exact reasoning that they use it in the movies for, which was to locate data. It's basically data farming, a whole grid based on how to find people, where people are. And of course, I know you heard about these flocking devices where the cameras are watching whoever's on the streets or wherever they put these cameras at. It's triggered by motion. So if you walk around it, it starts recording. I'm telling you, they are all planning this right underneath our noses. And of course, Elon Musk's Wi-Fi company, the satellite company or whatever it is going to be overlaying the Oracle grid. So they're going to be hyping up. I'm talking about, we're going to go from 5G and jump into 7G by the time this is over with. And they want all these areas where you see wildfires popping up at, they want to put data centers there. That's what they're going to do, is putting data centers in the places that they're burning up. And the movie Big Short alluded to this. At the end of Big Short, the movie with Steve Carell, right after where they said that one of the guys was going to get arrested, you know, and it only ended up being one guy that was arrested from one bank. And that was it for the 2008 financial crash. And at the end of the movie, then before they roll credits, they talk about how Michael Burry was audited a couple of times by the government. And he said he only invests in one commodity, and that is water. So he's already preparing for a water shortage. And I didn't even understood like why. Like, I thought it had something to do with, you know, they're gonna mess up the shipment with, you know, bottled waters or something like that, or they're going to poison the waters. But it's much more deeper than that once we understood what they're using for these data centers. Like, the data centers have to use water. So they're going to destroy the water supply in certain areas. So who is going to have the cleanest water is going to be the next flex. There's going to come a time where people aren't going to be flexing Rolexes, luxury cars, vacations, houses. Those days are done, I think. The next flex will be people showing how stocked and full their refrigerators are. That's going to be the next flex. Who has the cleanest water? Who can afford bottled water? If I were you, I would start preparing. I would start getting in some of these Ready Fresh, some of these water supply companies that bring out gallons of water to you if you use their water cooler dispensary. I suggest you get into that or look into something like that, because I guarantee you that if you are in a location where there's wildfires that they're using it for excuse, and you know there could be a reason for them to put a data center in your city or in your town or in your state, know that the water supply is going to get chewed up. You're talking about Flint water crisis. I think the water crisis is going to be much more severe than the Flint water crisis. The one thing that really stood out to me with this whole Nolan Wells funeral is the fact this young man, either he died or he didn't die. But let's say, okay, he died. 18 years on this earth, 18 years, and all he had to show for it was a line of jerseys from the teams he played with in his youth days, or in high school and then in college. Jerseys. And then when you look online, he has more videos and pictures of him throwing up the devil horns, putting his hands in the pyramid, TikTok dances in classrooms, TikTok dances in the weight room, and then being at parties. At 18, he's doing all this. Where is the righteousness coming in? His parents failed him. His stepfather or his father failed him. The mother failed him. She's too busy vlogging. She's running Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram at the same time. How do you have time to do this as a nurse? But she has time. And also has time to talk about the books that she loves. And these books are about magical Negroes that are vampires and werewolves at this HBCU. This is the time she spent. All this time. A month before, weeks before his death. And now he's dead and gone. Now we thank the Lord. Oh, it's God and this and that and Lord Savior. Like, these people are truly delusional. And this is why I say, like, the devil is not putting anybody on the platform that he knows is going to heaven. He will never give you an example of somebody so righteous that you know they're going to heaven. He would never put that person in front of your face because you would follow that person, would you not? I mean, we have the ultimate representation of how to get to heaven, which is Yahusha. But there's a reason why Satan gives you these rituals and these little psyops that he does with nobodies. They make you fall in love with this person's lifestyle, make you pity them, and in thinking that they are going to go to heaven because somebody killed them. They remove judgment out of it. They remove the fact that the Most High has said, I make alive, I kill, I bring down, I raise up. People remove that part of scripture that he said in Deuteronomy. And side conversation, side note, I get tired of Israelites. I do. I get tired of Israelites foaming at the mouth over these little race rituals that they do. Like, oh, they targeting us. They destroying us. They won't let us live. They're always out to get us. And mind you, these people choose to involve themselves with carnal revelry. This is why I said people do not understand that your last drink, your drink of alcohol, or your time in a bar, or your time in a nightclub, or your time at a strip club, it could be your very last time before the Most High chooses that he will not cover you anymore. And that's all that was. The Most High probably gave him multiple chances to act like a normal person, but he loved partying. He loved jumping around, doing dances and TikTok, and he had no mind on the Most High Yahuwah. And then they try to say that he was thinking about having three daughters, Charlotte, Sophia, and Olivia. What 18-year-old that does all this partying, that do all this dancing, is ever thinking about seriously getting married and having three daughters? He could be a great kid by the world's standard. By the world's standard, he's a great kid. But we are measured by Yahuwah's standard. Yahusha's standard, the prophet's standard, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov's standard. We are not measured by the standard of this world. And you know, when you see Al Sharpton and Benjamin Crump flanking the parents when they're giving their heartfelt memories of Nolan Wells, I mean, you know it's just cringeworthy. You know, the Most High has nothing to do with what they're doing over there. Not one thing. And Satan knows this, and he knows that most people are too ignorant to understand it, that as soon as you are removed from by some traumatic experience, people automatically assume, like, oh, they're resting in the better place. How do you know? How do you know he's not in Sheol right now? Well, if you go by the books of Ezra and the Sefer, it talks about for 7 days or seven ways when a person dies. One, they go and meet the Most High Yahuwah, because that's who gave them their ruach. Then they wander around this earth, you know, this world, this plane, for like 6 or 7 days, thinking about all the things that they did, all the things they didn't do, how they denied the Most High Yahuwah, and then they go down to Sheol to be tormented. So after those 7 days been up, he could be down there getting tormented. Demons in front of him doing TikTok dance moves in front of him. Like, you don't know, like just tormented, just like the rich man was tormented before Abraham and Lazarus. When he wanted that the poor man to dip his finger in the pool of water and to come heal his tongue, because it was hot down there, or it was some degree of hot down there. It wasn't hell, but it was some degree of hot. I'm like, we as parents got to do better. If anything, they should know the truth about this world, especially when there's so much knowledge and information being given for free at our fingertips. It ain't like back in the days, like when we had to go through the Encyclopedia Britannicas. Like, you had to hope that you got a library card, then go to a library, check out a book, and then return the book before you get late fees. Like, y'all didn't, mostly the generation now didn't grow up like that, where you literally had to go to a library, take out a book, and hope and get it back to the library before they ranked up late fees on you. Now everything is at the tip of your fingers, and people still choose not to understand this world or tell their children about this world. Like, my daughter knows a little bit about numerology. She knows more about symbolism than I know that Nolan Wells knew about, and she's 16. She already has done her immersion of water by an Israelite. She's already learned how to offer an ascending smoke offering. She's done the feast days. I'm comfortable with where her walk is right now. So we are, as parents, are supposed to prepare our children for the inevitable, regardless if they live for 100 or they live to 50 or live to 20, that when their eyes close, they can stand with confidence before the Most High Yahuwah. So I was just thinking about that today. Like, it's sad that all he has to his name is a bunch of pictures, dancing, partying, and some jerseys. I mean, I'm not expecting him to do a lot of things being an 18-year-old. But just imagine if you had your cell phone and people videotaped you at the time you're 18, you know, the last 2 years of your life, like from 16 to 18, would you be embarrassed? Would you be glad the Most High gave you grace, mercy, and long-suffering to see his truth? Do you believe that the Most High could have removed you off this world between the ages of 16 and 18? And the reason why he didn't is because you're here today understanding his truth, knowledge, and understanding. I knew this was going to happen. It was inevitable. I knew this was going to happen. People are already crossing, even if it's by mistake, people are crossing my calendar with the calendar that Ron is on. And to try to understand that calendar, it's called the Zadok calendar. And I talked about this calendar before. Zadok comes from 2 Samuel and Kings. He was a priest, and he was around the time during Saul, David, so forth. And where you get the name Sadducees is from his name, Zadok, because Zadok was T-S-A-D-U-Q, I think. But Sadducees comes from his name. Now, they could have perverted it and say, oh yeah, we're the priestly order of Zadok, so we're going to call ourselves the Sadducees, and we make a whole different text or doctrine, and we follow this, and that. And of course, I know that Zadok calendar comes from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And again, I'm telling you that the Dead Sea Scrolls thing is fake. It's fake to me. Because in 1947, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. 1947, and then 1948 came out with the Balfour Declaration, making Israel a state over top of Palestinian grounds. That's what they did. So in order for you to believe that that's where the holy people were, was to hide some scrolls up in a cave somewhere and say, oh, look what we found on this land. Who could deny the Jewish people this land now, because it's something that belonged to them, was found in a cave there. That's how it happened. And then America tried to bring it over here, the Dead Sea Scrolls over here. Then it found out to be a forgery. They tried to put forgeries in the Museum of the Bible. You know that place that they had. I forgot where it was, but there's a Museum of the Bible, and that's where those falsified artifacts of the Dead Sea Scrolls were placed. And you know who owned the artifacts, the fake forgeries of the Dead Sea Scrolls? The CEO or the Jew who owns Hobby Lobby. Isn't that weird? The guy who owns Hobby Lobby is also the co-founder of the Museum of the Bible. I had to look it up. I couldn't believe it myself. So I don't believe when they say that the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in this Qumran cave. I don't believe it. I believe there were some Jewish sects, some cliques that were just dreaming up or just making up doctrines based on our scripture, or our history, and then forge it into something else. And then say, oh yeah, this is what David followed. This is what the prophets followed. This is what the priests followed. I mean, just recently, the president of Israel, I think his last name is Herzog, he was talking about how he is a descendant of King David. Mind you, he brought up his descendant, which was Rabbi something Halevi Herzog. He's an Ashkenazi rabbi. So how can he be a descendant of King David? I mean, the delusion that these people say out of their mouths is crazy. This is how I know that Yahushua was talking to him when he said, like, you are the father of the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. And that's all these people do is lie. Lie when you don't have to. They only have to lie. People would like them if they didn't lie so much. Side conversation again. So there was a video on X, and it was talking about how this Jew who was in the Holocaust had some outside girl bring him an apple every single day while he was in this concentration camp. When the war was over, he happened to bump into this woman that was giving him apples as a child. And then they fell in love and they got married. And then he told, like, oh, it was real to me. Even when it was found out that he was lying, he stood with a straight face on I think it was NBC, I think he was on national media. He goes, yeah, it wasn't a lie, but it was real to me because that's what I imagined. With a straight face. But that's how you know these people are born liars. You know how insecure you have to be with your life to just lie? I mean, we already know they were scared to even use their real names. They were so proud to be Jewish, but yet they were scared to use their real names. They had to switch over names. A lot of Hollywood actors and actresses changed their names so they wouldn't allude to the fact that they were Jewish. But yeah, anyway, so back to this calendar, the Zadok calendar. So that's what was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, I looked up two different type of Zadok calendars. I know there's one that was from the Lion and Lamb Ministries. Their calendar or their appointed time start April 7. Pesach starts April 7. Now, here is the problem with that. April 7 is supposed to be on the 14th day. That means the moon must be full on the 14th day. I'm not going to go over again all the scriptures that I've already gone over when I talked about the moon is for appointed feasts, a light that decreases in her perfection. Her perfected state is a full moon. So Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, they all are on a full moon year in and year out. Consistently, the moons are full. They can't be waning, they can't be waxing, they can't be dark. Nothing. It has to be full moon every single feast day. Those top three feast days, every year, it's a full moon. April 7 is not a full moon. The first fruits, April 19. Oh, no. The weeks with Shavuot, their Shavuot is June 7. If you look at the moon phase on June 7, it is not a full moon. If you take Sukkot, which is October 7. That is not a full moon. So this calendar is not right because they're trying to squeeze in 364 days. And they've been moving the start dates around the spring equinox, where it does not say that we should organize the calendar based on the seven-day creation story and move it around the spring equinox. Nowhere in Enoch does it say that. Nowhere. And a brother emailed me and thought I was wrong, asking me about a calendar question. And I responded thinking he was talking about my calendar and just forgot that he was talking to me and not to Ron. And then he asked me my calendar. Was it the Enoch calendar? Yes, it's the Enoch calendar. If you tap on the icons and the calendar dates, the scriptures will pop up so you can look at it yourself of where I got the information from. So I'm not making it up. These calendars do not have all the information on it. They don't have the fast. And not just, I'm not talking about Yom Kippur. I'm talking about there's a fast in Zechariahu that was for a couple of months for the tribe of Yehuda. There's no new moons on here. And I said this before, if you go to the new moons in the scriptures, there's a lot of verses that mention the new moon and the Shabbats, like Jubilees 1:15. Jubilee 6:34, Jubilee 6:38, Yeshayahu 1:13, and Yeshayahu 66:23, Ezekiel 45:17, Hosea 2:11, and Colossians 2:16. There's another one in 2 Kings chapter 4 that I'm going to talk about. It was about a woman who was taking care of a man of Yahuwah. When he was passing by, he was giving him bread. And she said within herself, let's make up a place for him to sleep. So when he comes, he can come into the house and actually take a load off and come in the house and rest. So what they did was select a wall in their house and say, okay, we're going to build up this wall. So when he comes, he can have somewhere to sleep. So he came and took a rest or took a load off. And he asked her, okay, I seen that you took a lot of care in making sure I'm taken care of. What can I do for you? Should I mention something to the king or the host? She was like, no, I want a child. I want a son. And he said, this time, this season, you will have a son. And she was like, no, I don't believe it. Don't lie to your handmaid, because obviously her man was in age. Her man was older and she was getting ready to be older too. So she was like, nah, there's no way in the world I'm gonna be pregnant. She ended up having a son. Now he goes to where his father is. They were reaping and he hit his head or hurt his head. So he goes to his mother and at noon, he ended up dying. So in one of the verses, I'll start at 19 through 23. It says, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of Yahuwah and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her man and said, send me, I pray you, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of Yahuwah and come again. And he said, wherefore will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Shabbat. And she said, it shall be well. So it was a custom to that when new moons and Shabbats, they would go to the assembly. And you would go usually to be around the priest, a Levitical priest or a man of Yahuwah who was preaching the word. So you could glorify Yahuwah, praise Yahuwah, worship before Yahuwah. So he's saying that why are you going to chase this man of Yahuwah if your son is dead? He's saying it's neither a new moon or a Shabbat. Now, her son died at noon. It doesn't say it was nighttime when she went to go chase and see about this man of Yahuwah. It just said from noon. I'm assuming that soon as noon, he died. She's like, I need to go find the man of Yahuwah. So let's say 1 or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, just to be easy. That's still the daytime. So he's saying the new moons and Shabbats are during the day. That's how it comes off to me. Not what that other sister was saying, that the day starts at night and then it's done in the morning, which made no sense. But this was just clarification that I know what I'm talking about. So the new moon isn't just the new month. It's the first day of the month. And these calendars do not reflect the new moons in anything that they do. Here was another one I found. I can't remember the website I got it from. But here was another one. They start their calendar on March 18th. And again, they do the 7-day creation story where the luminaries were made on the fourth day. So this is what they did. They did the first day of the month, which is actually the fourth day. Then they went Thursday was the fifth day, which actually is the second day. They did the sixth day, Friday, which actually is the third day. Then they do the seventh day, which is Saturday, a Shabbat. Just like the calendar that I just talked about from Lion and the Lamb Ministries, their Shabbats is also Saturday. So you got two calendars called the Zadok calendar, and they both have Saturday Shabbats, but they're starting dates on different dates. Their feast days on different dates. I don't know how that is possible, because they're all trying to fit 364 days a year in the calendar. That doesn't make sense, especially when Yahuwah has said that there will be those that will surely make observations of the moon, how it disturbs the seasons and comes in year to year 10 days too soon. Even Enoch said, in the time of sinners, the years shall be shortened. At the time of sinners, the years shall be shortened. Now, how do you know that the years are going to be shortened if you're always having a 364-day calendar? Why would the Most High say that they see that the moon will come in and disturb the seasons 10 days too soon? From year to year, 10 days too soon. Why would he say this? That would make Yahuwah a liar if you continue to do 364 days. Especially when we have Enoch 78:14 as really the foundation of what the new moon is. So you're trying to tell me they're alternating the first day, but it's really the fourth day of the day of creation. And their 14th day is really March 31st. So the seventh day is not, so they have a seventh day, which is Tuesday, March 24th. The 14th day is March 31st, and the 21st day is April 7th. But they still have the Shabbats all on Saturday. That makes no sense. And the Shabbats on the Saturdays are the 4th, the 11th, and the 18th. Makes no sense. And that's the calendar, I think, Ron, and whoever y'all get this from, the Zadok calendar, that's what it's on, and it's completely wrong. Let me go to their 11th and 12th months. In the 11th month, there in this calendar, there is no Hanukkah. Even though Yahusha said that he walked on the Shalom's porch during the Feast of Hanukkah. They're full moons. They have the icons of the full moons on these particular days. I don't know why, because they're not even using the full moons. The full moon on the 11th month in this calendar is January 22nd, which is the eighth day of this calendar. That's wrong, because the full moon is always on the 14th and 15th day. Then they have a new moon, which is not even the start of the next month. It's just a dark new moon, which is on the 23rd, which is February 6th. And of course, there's no Purim on the 12th month. So what I'm saying is the moons are off. They're not even calculating the moon, because it's a solar-only calendar. That's what they're doing. A solar-only calendar is not using the proper moon, the proper ordinance of the moon. And that is what brings on all the years, as is mentioned in the book of Enoch. I think I'm going to have to start adding more scriptures to that website to explain it deeply. I know this is something new. I know, I get it. It's something new. It's something that may feel uneasy when you start to follow it or whatever. But I'm telling you, it's the truth. There is no other calendar right now that's really adding the new moons. No one's talking about new moons. No one's talking about the new moon feast days. No one's talking about the new moon Shabbats. No one's even paying attention to the ordinances that's mentioned in the book of Numbers. And that's why I put those verses in there. When you look at the trumpet on new moons, there's ordinances that go with that. You have to be offering either lamb or ox mingled with flour, oil, salt, wine, and then you ascending smoke offering it. That's what it says in the book of Numbers. In the beginning of your months, this is what you shall do. Blow with the trumpet, not the shofar, the trumpet. And that's why I bought from Amazon a silver trumpet. And that's what I do every first day of the new moon, which is during it. As soon as it's daytime, I know that the moon is going to have that sliver on it by the time it's night. So I have a new moon Shabbat. I blow the trumpet, which makes sense in biblical times, because how do you know it's the first day of the month? That's why they blow the trumpet. So imagine if you're in an assembly and you're around Yasharel, you just hear loud trumpets blaring. You'd be like, oh, it must be the first of the month. Okay, now I need to understand that the next 6 days, that's going to be the Shabbat. So I can set myself in order. I mean, even sometimes my wife makes a mistake of thinking that. She's like, oh, take out the food. We got to do this with the food. Da, 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 da. I was like, Sunday ain't a Shabbat. We already had the last Shabbat of the Sunday last month. So that's why they did it. They did it so people would be on task every Shabbat, every new moon. So people want me to break down this calendar, but I'm just telling you, look at the calendar itself and tap on the icons on the dates and read it yourself and go from there. Other than that, that's really it. That's really it. It's easy. We make it difficult because we want to do something on certain days that we aren't able to do. And the reason why that Shabbat moves around is because we're so used to being on the Gregorian calendar. That's what we grew up with or grew up in, is the Gregorian calendar. There was no Gregorian calendar back then. That calendar is but 500 and some years old. Same as the letter J. So I don't understand when people still call him Jesus when that's not even the name they used. And really, it's the Sadducees in the book of Acts that didn't want none of the apostles to even say Yahushua's name. So people in churches are practically doing what the Sadducees wanted you to do, which not to ever use the name of Yahushua. It's the reason why Hollywood would never use it, nor the Father's real name. They know better. They know law. It's one thing they do know. They know law. They know their world doesn't work if they mention Yahushua or Yahuwah's name. No matter how hard or how tough they act with this symbolism and all these rituals that they do out in the open, it don't matter. They know whose name not to ever invoke. So I'm going to wrap it up with Enoch 41:6. Brother Lorenzo sent this to me, which again validates what I said about it going from light to dark, not dark to dark. The course of the moon's path to the righteous is light, but to sinners it is darkness. In the name of Yahuwah Sevaot, who created a division between light and darkness, and separating the Ruach of men, strengthened the Ruach of the righteous in the name of his own righteousness. But the most important part of that verse is the course of the moon's path to the righteous is light. So why do you think Judaism goes from dark to dark? Why do you think some of these calendars, like the Zadok calendar, don't even follow the new moon, but they post that the very first day was a new moon, which was the moon was dark? So it's up to you if you want to follow the truth or you want to follow a modernized version of a Sadducee. That's on you. This is not about favoritism between me or whoever you got that calendar from. It's really all about the truth. Now, I wanted to jump back into the whole Nolan Wells autopsy report. I forgot to bring that up earlier. It's just funny to listen to Benjamin Crump talk. It's very hard to understand. I mean, you can understand what he says, but he talks like with this very, very slow drawl. Like they purposely select this guy because he sounds like an old slave out of the 1400s who just learned English. That's how he sounds. And he tries to get the people hype when they were at this NAACP conference. Now, the reason why they brought the autopsy report to the conference is because they charged people $400 to go to this NAACP convention. And this convention has a bunch of nobody leaders, like the mayor of Chicago or somewhat, and they just talk about absolutely nothing. Nothing's going to get done out of that convention because people who are in that convention or are part of the NAACP are ran by Greek fraternities or the Boule or Prince Hall Freemasonry. So they do nothing but rile everybody up. And if you look at the audience at this autopsy report, it was majority women. They know who their demographic is. This goes all the way back to the Willie Lynch papers, where it said that if you instill fear in the woman, she would raise her children in opposite roles. She would make her woman, or her daughter, sorry, who would make her daughter masculine. It would make the boy effeminate because she would coddle him or overly protect him because she has seen them pull her man apart with two horses. So it's a psychological warfare that they have been doing on us since the days of slavery. And now that programming is set within our forefathers, our ancestors, even our parents sometimes. It's set. It's set in there for this particular type of fear over the white man or over this system. Mind you, it's the same system that they're in fear of, the same system that they protest against, but it's also the same system they hope would work for them, which is very Stockholm syndrome-ish. But when he read this autopsy report, he talked about how it was normal that they took out the organs, but they got the body without the neck. That part didn't make any sense to me. What do you mean they didn't have the neck? Like, would he just remove his entire throat? Like, who, what was in this casket then? Like, if you wanted to prove that it was, and I told you this wasn't going to happen, I would be surprised that it would happen. I told you that if they really wanted to prove that these white boys beat on him really, really bad, and you wanted to correlate that or relate it to Emmett Till, you would have an open casket funeral. They had a closed casket. It might not even been a body in there, to tell you the truth. Just as you see everybody moving, how cringe they are, how first it started off with not even wanting publicity, wanting to stay secret, wanting to be private, and then they jumped to every television station and jumped to every conference and convention to get these kids arrested. We know who was involved with them. Like, why do you need the media to push the law enforcement to do their job? They're going to eventually do their job. It's just a longer process. But the one thing they didn't tell you was that she, what, let me look it up real quick. There's one thing they didn't tell you the same day of the funeral was that she filed in the court a petition to open the state. Now, when you do a petition to open the state, it's the next step in that is a wrongful death lawsuit. So they tried to hide it or cover it up with that. So with the wrongful death suit, you could sue someone. Now, those boys, they may not even spend a day in jail. And they might not even be the ones that's going to pay for the civil suit. They're going to sue somebody. It could be the Cajun Navy for, mishandling the body. It'll all come out eventually. But I don't think those boys are going to ever do a day in jail. They may get one. They may get one that they get probation. Just to quiet Negroes down and don't riot or break nothing up. But they're not going to do hard time. Now, if you go back to Benjamin Crump's first case that he gained notoriety in, the Trayvon Martin case, their parents, Tracy, did the same exact thing. He filled out a petition to open the state, to appoint an administrator and grant letters of administration and for other relief. So that's when they sued. They didn't sue George Zimmerman. He didn't pay for anything. They sued. Let me look it up. They ended up suing in 2012 the HOA that they were living in or living around at the time. So it ain't nothing much but about money. That's it. Yeah. The wrongful death settlement with retreat at Twin Lake Homeowners Association for more than $1 million in 2013. So it's about money. It's not about putting people in jail. Because why would you put somebody in jail that's going through a ritual for you? Like I said this before, R. Kelly's not in jail. Ghislaine Maxwell's not in jail. Sean Combs is not in jail. Tory Lanez is not in jail. Why would they send people to jail that are following through on a ritual to energy harvest you and to swaying you from man versus woman or black man versus black woman or black man versus white woman or black, or you get what I'm saying. Like, so why would they imprison those people who are actors in these roles? So at the end of the day, man, it's just hilarious. It is. It's hilarious that this is what they go through just to antagonize this race war. And I guarantee you there's going to be something else that's going to happen. And I don't know why they haven't used one of their celebrities yet. Like, why haven't they sacrificed their celebrities? Like a cop, you know, shoots one of an actor or something like that, a famous black actor. And that'll really get people riled up and ready to go. That may come. Bookmark it. That may come. In order to really truly antagonize this race war, you would need a very, very likable and lovable black celebrity that gets gunned down by a white police officer. It has to be, it almost has to be on a Rodney King type level. I'll be waiting for that. That'll really get people going. I mean, the way they're doing Jay-Z right now with all these fake these fake fans that want autographs every time he steps out of this building. I mean, it seems like it would be the best. It would be the logical situation for them to sacrifice Jay-Z. And then, of course, Beyonce would put out an album talking about how she's a widow, how she's lonely, how she has to raise kids on her own, but also empowering her with the whole mother goddess worship. The same thing with Rihanna. I mean, I could see them breaking up. It's already formulating online. And right now, the CIA, whoever controls these celebrities, they're watching what the people are saying so they can play on the emotions. And they've been saying, like, oh, Rihanna is so much better than him. She's had it with him. He's not even interested in her anymore, blah, 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 blah. The best thing they could do for her career is to break them up and for her to come out with a comeback album about being, again, the mother goddess. Lose weight, come out strong, and it's all about getting a new man or entertaining new men. And that's what they keep playing over and over within black relationships. That's the motto. It's to separate from the father. Then you come out again showing that you have successfully beat a man who sucked the life and energy out of you. Then you slim down, get all sexy again, and then you back in the streets. I guess they were getting ready to get that programming going. But other than that, there's nothing else. I mean, you guys are pretty much good at supporting me through this calendar. I'm excited. I'm going to be adding more to the calendar. A brother asked me to do the Jubilees 21 when it talks about the specific types of woods you need for an altar. And somebody else also wanted me to go deeper into burnt offerings, but I talked about burnt offerings in previous episodes. But I'm gonna put all of this over time on the website so you know what type of woods to use. And also, if you are interested in building your own altar, that you must do it with natural stones, natural rock. That means it cannot be shapen by any tool. It can't have any tool lifted upon it. It has to be completely 100% natural from the ground. Now, you can go to your gardening store or any kind of landscaping store and just stack those up. I mean, you could put mortar in it. You can get mud and just slap it in between the stones. You're still using earth. I mean, they did this in biblical times. If you go through the book of Yasher or Jubilees, it talks about how Yaakov stacked up a pillar of stones and made an altar. He called it Bet-El, which is the house of God, a house of Yahuwah. So it don't have to be grandiose. I know that's the first thing we think of when we think of an altar is to make it very grandiose because we wanted to show our love and respect for the Most High Yahuwah, but it doesn't have to be that, you know, that big. Just good enough that you could put the offering on top of it and then stack it with the wood that is acceptable, mentioned in Jubilees 21. But like I said, I'm going to put all this on the website. So when you go to it, you know exactly where I get it from and where you can find it. This is about the 300 and some episode of this show. I never thought I was going to get to 300 episodes. But over time, I start running out of topics or ideas. So if you want to learn or know of something, please drop it in the comment sections of this episode so I can prepare better and have everything laid out for you. Sometimes I'm just throwing out ideas in the dark and don't even know what you guys need to hear or what you guys need to understand when it comes to scripture. Either is it ordinances, the calendar, or just overall how to do this walk properly. Drop it in the comment section of this episode. There won't be a Sunday episode. I will move Sunday to Monday, not for the rest the entire time. Just I'm going out of town to visit my family, and I won't get back till Sunday, late Sunday night, or I think red eye Monday morning or something like that. So Sunday's episode will be on Monday. So that'll give you time to drop all your topics or whatever you need to know in that comment section. Peace.